I want you to do something for me, if you would. I want you to open your Bibles to my text, and I want you to just mark it. If you want to hold your Bible on your lap, you can, but if you want to mark it, it's Luke chapter 9. I want you to hold that, and I want to preach to you for a few minutes, then I want to read my text to you. And I have a question to ask. I want to ask you this question. Why won't you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why won't you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're here this morning and you've come to Him, my text will tell you why you came. If you're here this morning and you haven't came to Him, my text will tell you why you haven't come. Why won't you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and to God by Him? There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, but all are welcome to come by Him. Why haven't you came? Why won't you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? In Him and by Him is everything a soul needs. Everything that is required for time and eternity. Nothing else but what is in Him and what He gives you is all that you need and all He requires. Why won't you come to Him? Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear and your soul shall live. He that hears my word and believes on Him that sent me hath everlasting life. What more could you want? What more could you and I need as we face eternity? Life. Life. Come. Come to me, and your soul shall live. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Rest for your burden, guilty conscience. Rest. If any man thirst, for God, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. I thirst to see His smile. I thirst to be accepted. I thirst for mercy. I thirst for forgiveness. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Why won't you come to Christ? Everything that you need is in Him. Everything God requires is in Him. Oh, come. Let us return unto the Lord. Oh, come. That's my message to you this morning. Oh, come. Let us return unto the Lord. He has torn us, but He'll heal us. He has smitten us, but He will bind us up. Everything that a soul needs is in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Think of this. The Lord Jesus Christ has sent me to tell you to come to Him. That's what I'm doing here this morning. I have no other purpose this morning in my message, but my Master has sent me to tell you, you've not yet come, but He sent me to tell you to come. A man made a great supper and bade many, and he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, everything's ready. Don't bring anything with you, just come. That's my message from my Master to you, come. And he said, go out into the highways where the strangers travel. Go out into the hedges where the criminals hide to rob people, and say to them, come, that my house may be filled. I'm asking you this question this morning from my master. Why won't you come? The Lord's people are here this morning, His church, His tender bride that knows her husband. She knows the heart of her husband. And this is what she says to you, come. The bride says, come. Go preach the gospel to every creature and say to them, come. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to God by Him. And listen to this. The Spirit Himself says, come. Revelations 22:17. The Spirit says, come. The eternal Spirit, the third person of this sacred Trinity, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, says to you, come. You say, Bruce, is He speaking to me? If He's not speaking to you, I don't know who it is. If He says it in His Word, is that not to you? You'll never hear Him speak apart from this Word. He says, come. And listen to this. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. He knows you. You have sinned against Him, and He knows it. And He knows you, and He knows your sin. And yet here's what He says, come. Come. O sinful nation, O people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord and provoked the Holy One to anger. Why should you be stricken anymore? You'll just revolt more and more. Your whole head is sick. Your heart's faint. From the sole of your feet to the crown of your head. You're full of nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. He knew you. He knows you. And yet here's what He says. Come now and let us reason together. Your sins may be as scarlet, and He knows they are. They may be red, blood red, murderous red. But here's what the Lord Jesus says. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Why won't you come? And think of this. Everybody's soon coming. Everybody is coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Many are coming now. There's many here this morning who have already came to Him. I've came to Him. I came to Jesus, weary and worn and sad. And I found in Him a resting place. He's made me glad. Many have come to Him this morning. But it won't be long till everybody's coming. Everybody's coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. As I live, saith the Lord, I swear by myself. He looks around and He can find no one greater than Himself. So He says, I swear by myself that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue's going to confess. Who's that speaking? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Every knee's going to bow to me. Every tongue's going to confess. All those who are incensed against Him, they shall come. Everybody's coming. The Son of Man shall come in His glory, and His holy angels will come with Him. And He's going to sit there on the throne of His glory, and He's going to speak, and the graves are going to open, and the dead's going to get up, and everybody's coming to heaven there before His throne, in His presence, at His feet. They're coming to Him. Why not come now? Why not come to the Lord Jesus now? Come for mercy now. Come for grace now. Come for salvation now. Come for life now. You may wait And he may suffer you to wait, but you're coming. You're coming. All men shall come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think you're too sinful to come? Do you think you're too vile to come? I'll be honest with you, I don't run into many people like that. But maybe that's your problem. Maybe that's what you've been thinking. I'd never dare approach into the Son of God. I'd be afraid to come to Him. I'm afraid He'd cast me out. He'd look upon me as being so vile in His presence. Is that why you won't come to Him? Let me tell you a story. There was a man got up one morning and he noticed a little sore on his arm and he thought nothing about it and he went to work and he came back that night and he noticed that it had begun to spread. And the next morning he got up and he noticed that it looked worse. It was still spreading. He thought, well, maybe I'll go to the priest. I'll let him examine me. Maybe he'll know what it is. He goes over to the priest and the priest examines him and looks at it and said, I'm going to have to keep you for a few days. We have to shut you up for a few days. You'll be fine. We're going to feed you and take care of you, but you can't go back home. A few days later, the priest sends for him and he comes in and he examines him. And it spread worse. And the priest gave that man devastating news. When he heard what he said, his heart sank in him. He became so heavy he could hardly breathe. He said, you've got leprosy. You've got leprosy. And the priest called for his servant and he said, you go to this man's house and you get his clothes and put them in a bag and you bring them back here to me. They brought his clothes back there to the priest and he rips them up. And they take this man outside the city of Jerusalem, out on an old dusty road. And they said, you've got to put a rag over your lip. And you've got to live here by yourself or with these other lepers. You're never to come inside the city of Jerusalem. You must never be seen in the temple. Never make contact with your family. Never see your children again. And if anybody comes close to you, you cry out unclean. Unclean. I'm contagious. Don't come near me. I have leprosy. And they left him there. And his leprosy got worse. His skin began to decay. His nose turned black. And he smelled awful. Sores were all over his body and they began to run and fever filled him. Sometime he was half out of his mind with fever until finally one day another leper looked at him and he said, man, you're filled with leprosy. And he was waiting to die in those running, stinking, fever sores. And he heard that Jesus Christ was preaching nearby. And he went to Jesus. What an amazing statement. And it says this. He came to Jesus. He came right where he was. He came contrary to the law. He wasn't supposed to be there. He took his life in his hands when he came. He could have been drug away or perhaps stoned. He had no right to be there. But the scripture says he came to Jesus, threw himself down at his feet, and said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, did the most amazing thing. He did what nobody else would ever dare have done. He reached out and touched this man. Touched him. And he said, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he was cleansed. He was cleansed. The Son of God touched that leprosy and it had no effect upon him. But he had effect upon that leprosy. And it fled from him. He was clean. Are you any more vile than that? You're afraid to come to him because you think you're more vile than that? Maybe the devil or your conscience is telling you you don't have a right to come. Well, that's the truth. If we ever had any rights, we send them all away. We have no rights. We don't come because we have a right. We come because we're lepers. We come because we need mercy. We need to be saved. And we do just as this man did. We don't come saying, I've decided to let you heal me. Now, utterly ridiculous. We say this, if you will. You know what? Here was a dying man. And whether he died or lived, rests in the will of the Son of God. And he was content that it should be that way. I had a friend of mine told me a few weeks ago, her husband was almost dead in the hospital. And she said, this nun had came in and wanted to know if it was all right to pray for him. Of course, the lady was telling me wasn't a believer either. And she said, yeah. She said, if you want to. She said, the reason I want to pray for him, said, some of these Protestants around here, they like these old Protestant prayers. She said, I like the Catholic prayer. Well, what's the difference? Well, the Protestant prayer is like this. Lord, if you will. Lord, if you will. That's the prayer of every sinner that comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether I live or I die, if you will, you can. Oh, Bruce, if I believe that, then I'd go off and forget about it. If it just rested in His will, you would unless you were in trouble. But you find yourself with this leprosy of sin inside and knowing He's the only one that can do it. But you'll come pleading His will. And I tell you this, nothing can tear you from His feet. If it's left up to His will, you're going to stand there looking up. Lord, if you will, you'll have mercy on whom you will, then have mercy on me. Are you more vile than this man? Why don't you come then? Why don't you come to Christ? Well, maybe you say this. Maybe you say, I just don't have enough knowledge to come. I don't have enough understanding to come. I sit and listen to the preacher and I don't even know what he's talking about. I opened up my Bible and somebody just took all the words off the pages. I don't understand anything. I'm as blind as a bat. I don't have any spiritual sight at all. I'm going to sit here until finally I've got everything figured out. And then when I fill my head with this knowledge and this learning, then I'll come. When I get my act together, then I'll come. Is that what's keeping you from coming to Christ? Your ignorance, your blindness. Is that why you won't come to Him? Let me tell you another story. Our Lord Jesus was passing through Jericho one day. On His way out of Jericho, sitting by the side of the road, was a beggar. Bartimaeus, the beggar. Dressed in old filthy rags. And he had to beg for them. Everything he eat, he had to beg to get it. Everything he drank, he had to beg to get it. He couldn't do anything for anybody. Everybody had to do something for him. And he'd sit there and beg so long, when you went down that road, you crossed along the other side because you knew he's going to be begging. Looking right at you. Begging, shaking his little cup when he heard you coming by. But he wasn't just a beggar. He was a blind beggar. Never seen a sunrise. Never seen anybody. Never looked in anybody in the eye. And he heard that Jesus was passing by. And he commenced to cry, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. And he just kept on crying. And the crowd said, would you shut up? You nobody. You blind beggar. For once in your life, could you just shut your mouth and leave everybody alone? We'll be out of here in a minute. Shut up. Yeah, me shut up. You're not blind. You're not a beggar. You can afford to shut up. I've got just a minute and he's going to be gone. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And our preachers have often told us about what happens next. One of the most amazing things, it happened before and never happened since. The scripture says that Jesus stood still. Our master was always on the go. Devils tried to stop him and couldn't. The raging sea tried to stop him and couldn't. Nothing could stop him but the cry of mercy from this blind beggar sitting on a dusty roadside. Jesus, have mercy on me. And the Lord said, you call him over here to me. And the scripture says, he threw away that old garment and he came to Jesus. How did he get there? He couldn't see a lick. How did he get there? He didn't know where he was. The crowd got quiet. They were amazed at what was going on. Which direction do I go? How do I get to him? Where is he? You'll know when you get there. Just come. And he came, and the Lord Jesus said, what will you that I should do for you? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. I'm blind. I am blind. I can't see anything. I'm in darkness. Is that what's keeping you from Christ? Your spiritual darkness? You'll never see till you come to him. That's the truth. If you're waiting until you've got it all figured out in your head, you'll never come. It's not those who have it straightened out. It's those who are confused about it all that come to him. Now that's the truth. Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus, the Lord, said, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. And immediately he saw. Immediately he saw. And you know the first one he saw? The one who gave him sight. And he followed Jesus in the way. What do you want from the Lord Jesus Christ? Come to him. Come to him. I can't tell you how to come. I just tell you to come. I'm sorry, I can't tell you how to come. But you must come. And you come and tell him what you want. What do you want from him? Lord, I want to see. What do you want to see? I want to see you. I want to see you. I want to see myself accepted in you. I want to see myself complete in you. That's what I want. I want to live. I want to see life. I want to see salvation in you. And you may stand there saying that as blind as a bat, but I'm telling you, you may be surprised how quickly he'll open your eyes. What's keeping you from Christ? Why won't you come to Christ? Well, you may be here this morning and you say, Bruce, really, I'm not coming because I'm delusioned. I'm finished. I am so sick of religion. I'm so sick of what it's done to me and to me and against me. I'm ready to give up on it all. I found out that it did me no good when I was confirmed and committed and baptized as a little infant. They took me and baptized me as an infant. I'm still dead in sin. I walked the aisle just like they told me to. And I'm still sin sick in my soul. I've repeated the sinner's prayer just like they told me to. I joined the church just like they told me to. I tried to conform to what the preacher told me to do. I've tried to do everything, and it's did me no good. I'm sick of it, I'm tired of it, and I'm still dying. And I don't even know what I'm doing here this morning, but this is the last service I intend to to attend, and that's it for me. I'm out of here. I'm sick of religion, sick of hearing about God, sick of hearing about salvation. Don't anybody talk to me about it. I'm finished with it. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let me tell you a story. There was a lady who got up one morning and she was bleeding. And after a few days, she hoped it would stop, but it didn't. And her bleeding got worse. And she went to a physician. And he said, "Oh yes, I can help you. I can help you. This time tomorrow, you won't be bleeding any longer. I've got the cure for you." And he gave her some medication and she went home. Tomorrow she was bleeding worse. She waited a few days and went back to him. He said, "I'm sorry, I thought that would work. I know a specialist. And I'm going to send you up there to him." She went up there to him. He said, "Oh yeah, I can fix you right up. I can do it. I can do it. I treat this all the time. You just do what I tell you to do." And she went back home and did it. And a week later, she noticed she was getting weaker and weaker and still bleeding. She went back to the specialist. "Well, there's another fellow. I know I don't have the money. Can you hock your house?" "Well, yeah, I can do." "Okay, you go do that and come back." "And when I know this guy." Okay, she did that. But she got worse. She emptied her bank account out. She borrowed all that she could borrow. And finally she was broke. And finally she went to a doctor. And he said, "I'm sorry, we can't help you." So that's the way you're feeling, huh? These physicians of no value have used your soul as a piece of merchandise. And now you're still dying, Christless and hopeless. Well, listen what this lady did. Listen what this lady did. She heard the Lord Jesus was by. But she couldn't get to him because there was a crowd there. But that didn't stop her. She said, "I know." And I have no idea how she knew this. Oh, how secretly the Lord works in the heart sometimes. Some way or another, after trying all these other physicians, somebody convinced her heart, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be whole." But these fellows stood in her way. These two big fat men stood in her way. But some way or another, she got between them. She pushed another out of the way. And she pressed her way and touched the hem of his garment. And immediately she felt in herself, "My problem solved. I ain't bleeding anymore. I'm healed. I'm whole." And the scripture says the Lord Jesus turned and said, "Who touched me?" And those disciples said, "Lord, please, please. Everybody's been touching you. Look at the throngs of people pressing on one another. And you say, who touched me?" And he said, "Somebody touched me because virtue has gone out of me. Merit has gone out of me. Power has gone out of me. And somebody's got life. Somebody's been healed. I know it." And this woman came and fell down and told him all the truth. What did she tell him? Just what you ought to go to and tell him. If you're delusioned with these physicians of no value, if they've dunked you in the baptistry, if they've got you down front on the altars, if they've talked you into profession, you go to him just like she did and you tell him, "Lord, those are physicians of no value. I'm finished with them. They took my time, they took my energy, they took my money, and they would have took my soul if it hadn't been for you." Is that what's keeping you from Christ? You're just fed up with it all? Well, come to him first. If he's the last one you come to, that's good. Come to him. You say, "Bruce, I've been trying to come to him. I've really been trying to come to him." I talked with a dear young man, and I may have told you about this. He was in our congregation. And I asked him one day, I said, "Garrett," he'd been sitting under the preaching for a long time. I said, Gary, why don't you come to Christ? Why don't you come to Christ? He said, I don't know how to come. Been trying to, but I don't know how. You've been trying to come to Christ. What's in your way? What's in your way? And I don't completely understand this, but maybe you're like me. A lot of things stood in my way. And you say, Bruce, I'm so weak. I'm just ready to give it up. Just ready to give it up. I've been trying to shove this out of my way and that. Don't give up. He may be closer than you think. You may be right there to just to reach out and touch Him. And when you do, you'll know it. You'll know it. Why won't you come to Christ? Well, maybe it's this. Maybe it's this. Maybe you say, well, I've waited too long. I procrastinated, and I procrastinated. And somebody's telling me that it's too late for me now. I wonder who's telling you that. Well, could this be your conscience? It could be God. I don't know. Could be the devil. I don't know. Is that what's keeping you come to Christ? There's no hope for me now. There's no hope. I've done waited too late. No sense coming now. I might as well go on without any hope. I've loved strangers. So after them, I'll go. Well, let me tell you a story. One last story. Let me tell you about this fellow. Must have committed some awful crimes. Because they tried him and condemned him to death and hung him on a cross. Hung two of them. Him and his buddy on a cross. And they hung them on either side of the Lord Jesus Christ. And both of them was ridiculing. They were mocking the Son of God. Saying, if you be the Christ, come down from the cross and save us. Neither one of them would come to Christ. For as we know, they never thought about coming to Christ. If they did, they didn't come. But suddenly, one of them was awakened. He began to think about this. He said, wait a minute here. Wait a minute here. I know for myself that I'm right where I deserve to be. I got one foot in the grave, and as far as I know, one foot in hell, and that's exactly what I deserve. I'm receiving just what's due me. Don't that have something to do with repentance? And he turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said, Lord, I know you're not going to stay dead. How did he know that, I wonder? It is amazing how these things set up in a man's heart. You don't know how it happens, but there it is. I know you've got a kingdom. I know you're not going to stay dead. I know you're going to raise and ascend into your kingdom. There at the right hand of God on your throne. And when you're there, would you remember me? And the Lord Jesus made an astounding statement to that man. Here was a man that was so weak, beaten, ready to die. What authority does he have to tell somebody else, this day, you will be with me in paradise? But there he said it. He said it. And before that day was over, both of them were there. Ain't that amazing? This man, as far as anybody knew, had been sentenced to death and was ready to die and perish in his sins. There were some people left there that day and said, boy, we know one thing about it. We're not for sure about that man on the middle cross, but we know those two thieves. They're in hell. They're in hell. Surprise, surprise. Wouldn't you be surprised if you come to the Lord Jesus today and you thought that you had waited too long? and your conscience had told you so, and you didn't know if it was the devil or God told you that you'd done, waited too late. You had sealed your destiny. You went around bragging how you was the captain of your soul. Now it's time to pay for it. But lo and behold, you've came. And just like this man, the day that they had ordained for him to die was the day that God had ordained for him to live. Ain't that amazing? Oh, the Lord Jesus never changed his destiny, did he? He just showed him his destiny wasn't what he thought it was and what everybody else thought it was. You may be here today and you think, I'm ready to perish. That may be so. This one thief did. But it may not be so either. And I'll tell you how you can know. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. Has God destined you? Has he predestinated you to life eternal? I'll tell you how you can find out. Come to Christ. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Why won't you come to Christ? I'm telling you to come. The church is telling you to come. If you come to him, he'll never cast you out. He's never cast anybody out that came to him, and never shall. Why won't you come to Christ? Come, humble sinner, in whose breast a thousand thoughts revolve. Come with your guilt and your fear oppressed and make this last resolve. I'll go to Jesus. I'll go to Jesus. Tried everything else and everybody else. I'm going to Jesus. Though my sins like mountains round me close, I know his courts I'll enter in, whatever may oppose. Prostrate, I'll lie before his throne, and there my guilt confess. I'll tell him, Lord, I'm a wretch undone without your sovereign grace. I'll to the gracious King approach whose scepter pardon gives. Perhaps he will command my touch and this poor beggar lives. Perhaps he will admit my plea and perhaps will hear my prayer. But if I perish, I will pray and only perish there. I can but perish if I go. I am resolved to try. But if I stay away, I know I must forever die. But if I die with mercy sought, when I the King have tried, this were to die. Oh, delightful thought, where a sinner never died. Come to Christ. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, when you turn to him, when you come to him, you may be amazed how quickly you arrive. And he tells you how to pray. We don't put much stock in a sinner's prayer. But you know, the Lord gives the sinner a prayer. And here's what he says. He says, take with you words and turn unto the Lord and say this, Lord, take away all iniquity and receive me graciously. You want to come to Christ? Take that prayer and go to him. And in your heart of hearts, pray that prayer to him. Say it to him. Plead what he tells you to plead. I plead it all the time. Jesse pleads it all the time. Your pastor pleads it all the time. God bless you.